Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, May the 15th, 2009. High pressure is expected to build into the Midwest. The outside markets come under pressure, and the two factors combine to create a dismal close for the commodity markets in Chicago. Is there a brighter future buried in the early week USDA numbers? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Welcome to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Sam Lerner of Roach Ag Marketing out of Boca Raton, Florida. Here's the way the numbers settled in Chicago. We give you the daily high, low, and settlement for the week, including the overnight and the day trade. That's the composite. In Chicago, July wheat futures for the soft red this week at a high of 602 and a quarter, a low at $5.75, and we give you the lead option. The May expired, so this is May Friday of last week to July Friday of this week, down 5.5 cents at $5.75. The July 2010 wheat contract settled at $6.54, down 14.75. In the corn pit, the May expired as well. July futures had a high for the week at 434 on the lead option. July low at 413. Settlement price was down a penny from last Friday at 413. And December corn futures at 432, a penny and a quarter lower. Soy complex now, the lead option, which is currently the July, but was May earlier in the week, 1156 and a quarter, the high. The low at 1086 and a half, a settlement price at $11.30, down 3.5. But the July to July, as a reminder, Friday to Friday, was up 19 cents in the soybeans. November beans at $9.57. settled down 3.75 on the week. June live cattle futures, $83.90 the high, the low at $81.85. The settlement at $81.85, down 60. And the May feeders, $99 even, down 35 cents. June lean hog futures, $69.22.5 for the high for the week, the low at $66.47.5. And a settlement price at $66.52.5. They finished up $6.50 on the week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Our panelists in studio on this edition of Commodity Week are Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, and Graham Utter of AgriVisor in Bloomington, Illinois. Let's open our discussion today with this question. Ed Dunn, USDA, in its first projection of ending stocks for the coming year, opened with a paltry 1.145 billion bushels of corn on hand in the fall of the year 2010. Why did the market not react to such a low figure?
Well, unfortunately, Todd, we kind of ran into a tired market this week, I think is the way to put it. We were able to bust through that 435 area, run up to 450, and I think they felt that reaction to the lower carryover and to the weather issues in the Eastern Corn Belt was sufficient. Now they see some clearing conditions for next week. They still see some chinks in the armor on the demand side. And the biggest one of all, the outside markets, crude oil, a rally in dollar really weighed on us and kept us from going to the next level.
Graham Utter of AgriVisor.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, we're seeing an unbelievable amount of news hitting the market, and it's kind of the market trying to absorb whatever it can and act accordingly. Fortunately for producers, it's going to be an opportunity here with these higher prices to get started on new crop, hopefully move some of the old crop, and benefit from the market move.
Graham, as you've talked to people this week, clients all over the Midwest, I suspect a lot of them in Illinois, what are they telling you about progress that they've made?
Well, you know, in Illinois here, progress has been slow. Producers are wondering why we're not seeing higher prices than what we are right now. And, of course, you know, we can look at the balance sheet and see the carryover is one reason. We can take a look at the weather and see that that's a reason we should see the price go higher here. But on the flip side, you know, as you said, all over the Midwest, I talked to producers in Iowa, and they're wondering if they should market, you know, up to 80% of their crop up to their insurance guarantee. So vast difference in opinions depending on where we're standing right now as far as crops planted.
Ed, speaking of insurance, your company deals a lot with crop insurance. I bet you've been fielding calls all week about prevented planting and other sorts of things. Tell me what you've been telling your clients.
Okay, those with an individual coverage-based policy for their corn, they've got 3 weeks from today. June the 5th is the final plant date to receive full coverage on your corn for 2009. If you can't get it planted by that date, so starting June 6th, you can have a couple choices. You can go ahead and file for a prevented plant where you're going to receive 60% of your revenue guarantee from the insurance company, or you're going to lose 1% of coverage per day starting June the 6th. So, for example, if you plant on June 15th, that's 10 days after the plant date, you've lost 10% of your insurance coverage. That final date for soybeans is June 20th. So, again, the questions have been very, very full this week, a large amount of them. And, in fact, our office put out a letter today to try to address those, to quell those calls. But that's being a big topic in the countryside, almost as much as what happened with market prices this week.
Does it depend where you are on those dates geographically?
It does. It does depend on that. Illinois and Indiana are June 15th. You know, you can go up to Wisconsin. It's May 31st. Minnesota is May 25th. It does depend on your region as to what that date is. But the 60% payment is a flat number across the board regardless. But 60% of your revenue, that doesn't pay for your cash rent. It doesn't pay for your fertilizer and seed and everything that you've already got in it. So, you know, our advice has been you got 3 weeks. We know the next week is going to be tough. So you got to find a way to get it in the ground, because from an insurance perspective, you're much better off having it in the ground no matter the condition than trying to take a prevent plant payment.
And most of them are saying we're going to plant corn, and are you telling them to go ahead and plant the corn, or if they can, are they you wanting them to switch to soybeans?
Well, if they've got the option to switch to soybeans, they may already have their applications down to where that's not an option on the ground itself. The good news is they're still 3 weeks away from having to make that decision. The bad news is that 3 weeks is going to get here very quickly. But we're still telling them that if their intention was to plant corn, they've spent the money and they're ready to go ahead and stick with it, at least for today.
Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, has joined us in studio as well. Dan, as you looked at the marketplace Tuesday and saw those numbers come out from USDA, looked at the planted area, which, of course, we knew was 85 million acres, a yield of 155.4, which is a bushel and a half higher than last year. Did you believe it?
At this point, I think that is just an exercise that the USDA goes through each May. They come up with a set of balance sheets. They've been doing this for years, and I think that's just kind of a starting point. And then the trade will adjust as we go forward.
How about the 1.145 billion bushel carryout?
I can believe that. I think export demand is going to be very strong for the coming year. I think actually we're going to go into more of an export-driven market. I think river bids are going to be awful strong. They've been kind of on the weak side for several years. I think river bids are going to be awful strong for the coming year. And now the ethanol number, that is in play, but we got to keep in mind that that is a political decision and that can change. So, the overall balance sheet on the demand side looks okay to me. Can't complain.
Well, on the domestic usage, and ethanol was one of those. They're looking at a 4.1 billion bushel usage. That's up, of course, 9.3% from the current year, but all because of the mandate. Graham, as you consider these numbers and the 1.145, do you really see that and the average market price, which they gave, which is 10 cents lower than this previous year. It went from 420 on the cash side to 410. Can you reconcile those two figures in your mind?
Well, I don't think that as far as when you look at ethanol projections, you know, a lot of that 15% isn't figured in, and so the market is not hopeful, or at least not showing it in the market, the hope of that 15% being, you know, actually converted and used here. So, you know, from that standpoint, as we move forward with that and see those positive aspects of the 15% come out, I think you gradually see that work into the market.
So when you discuss this cash grain market, this part of the cash grain side, though, USDA came out with an average cash price of $4.20. Last year's average cash price, the current marketing year, is at it's the other way around, $4.10. Last year was at $4.20. Can you really see a dime lower? Is it just because the price was so much higher at this time last year than it is this year, or is there something else at work?
Well, I think that it all has to do with where price is now and where we're moving out of here. I mean, you know, obviously we felt there back in December the market was overdone on the downside. Then we had another push lower into February. We're starting to see a little recovery here, and, you know, these weather scares are getting us to those points. So, you know, I think that as we go forward, those things will adjust. So it's a preliminary number right now.
I really kind of want to come back to this trend yield of 155 that they came up with from USDA. Is that a number? It just seems like a number that's awfully high given the number of acres in Illinois that weren't planted on Monday of this past week or on Sunday of this past week. We're only 90% not planted here in the state. Iowa was a long ways along and ahead of schedule, but that's an awfully big number. And I think by Darrell Good's figures, we're going to lose 9 bushels an acre on the statewide average.
And those, when you're asking about the 1.1 carryover in the price, I think that was where I was going to go first, Todd, was are yields possible to be at a 155, and our corn acres going to be where they're projecting as well, considering the planting delays in the eastern Corn Belt. What none of the three of us can answer today is how does a strong crop out of Iowa, Nebraska, and southern Minnesota balance out the struggles of the eastern Corn Belt? So with that being said, we, you know, based out of a Champaign, Illinois location, we think it's going to be tough to get to 155. But if I'll bet if you went west of the Mississippi, they're probably thinking, yeah, that's pretty sustainable. But those are the questions that we got to ask ourselves right now. Is that really possible? Right now, we're going to say no.
I think you got to understand what USDA did with this. Is not a surveyed report to try to come up with a yield. This is strictly a statistical yield projection, and you can see over the past several years that we have a tendency to increase the trend line yield somewhere around 2 bushels per acre. So if you're going to sit down in Washington, D.C. and map out a balance sheet on May 8th or 9th, whenever they did that, I don't see anything really wrong with that. Now, the market is adjusting for that. The other thing is, it is only May 15th here. Now, everybody seems to think it's June 15th, but it is May 15th. And it wasn't too many years ago when we didn't really get a lot of corn planted until May 10th. So we do have time yet. Farmers are going to plant corn all the way into June 5th. I feel very comfortable about that. This week's weather forecast or the extended weather models do indicate that we're going to see an opening here. And I think the percent planted in the state of Illinois is well understated. There is more in the ground than what USDA's numbers would indicate what they came out with Monday afternoon.
We only have a couple of minutes left. Why don't you tell me about the soybean market, and we'll go across the board with you.
Soybean market continues to find awfully good support in the front end. It's all about old crop demand, shrinking South American supplies, much smaller than what the world trade thought. But we are probably at a point where the market needs to consolidate.
Ed Dunn?
Yeah, when you look at the bean market, it's not a ton different than corn right now. We're kind of getting up to where we can sniff those January highs again, but we can't seem to get there. We might get it if we get a weather problem here in the next 2 weeks to potentially push November beans up to 1040. But our opinion is use this $10 futures price area as a chance to get some sales done, make some things happen, because I think we're closer to a top than we are a bottom in new crop soybeans.
And grandmother.
Yeah, I agreed with all the comments there. And, you know, the thing that I take a look at pretty closely is a cap's been kept on that soybean market with the expectation of this acreage shift, the wet weather, those acres coming out of corn and going into soybeans. But, you know, like the other guy said, good opportunity right now to look at pricing some of the new crop soybeans, looking at an option strategy, giving downside protection, leaving upside potential open.
You're listening, of course, to the Friday, May 15th edition of Commodity Week. Our guest in the studio are Dan Zwicker, Ed Dunn, and Graham Utter. In a couple of minutes, we'll talk with Sam Lerner. He's with Roach Ag Marketing out of Boca Raton, Florida. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. A few dry days this past week did allow some planting to get done, especially early in the week. The good thing about the dry days was that even though it was a bit on the cool side, the air was very dry. Dew points on Monday and Tuesday were into the 30s and 40s, rather unusual for this time of year, and that accelerated evaporation rates. Unfortunately, that was all undone by widespread heavy rain that moved across Illinois on Wednesday. There were two waves of thunderstorms Wednesday, one during the morning hours and the second in the afternoon evening. During the afternoon, a strong cold front ignited a line of thunderstorms that ended up sweeping through the entire state. Many of the thunderstorms were severe, with wind gusts recorded in excess of 75 miles per hour in central Illinois. However, it was the rainfall that was the most damaging, at least from an agricultural standpoint. Most of Illinois received at least an inch of rain, with 2 to 3 inches common in central and southeastern Illinois. While skies dawned sunny on Thursday, standing water was present in many fields, and flood warnings were in effect for much of central Illinois. More rain on Friday into early Saturday just made matters worse. There may be some light, or rather dry, weather at the end of the tunnel. It appears that most of next week is going to be sunny, dry, and gradually warmer as high pressure drifts through the Midwest. The first sign of more rain is perhaps late next weekend, but that's far enough out to not worry about it right now. Overall, this looks like next week is going to be one of the best weeks we've had in quite some time. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is the May 15th edition of Commodity Week. Our panelists in studio today are Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, Graham Utter of AgriVisor out of Bloomington, Illinois, and Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois. Respectfully known as the New York Farmer, our Commodity Week guest today is Sam Lerner, and he was formerly from Farmingdale, Long Island, New York. And that was the former home of Farmingdale Agricultural University. For 30 years, Sam was a financial planner and worked with Midwest department stores like Carson, Peary Scott, and Yonker Brothers. And then he moved with his family to Florida and began his commodity career. He capitalized on his financial planning background by teaming up with John Roach and Roach Ag Marketing in Boca Raton. And Sam Lerner works with John pretty closely in both marketing strategy and philosophy. Thanks for being with us today, Sam. I have a question for you off the bat. Do you have a plan of action in place for your remaining old crop corn inventories?
Yes, we do. We've put our plans in place back in the fall. At this point, we're approaching 75% corn and bean sales, old and new crop, and we're sticking to that plan. In spite of the fact that the market seems to be flatlining this spring, we're looking to get the best average out of this market that we can get.
Sam, this is Graham from AgriVisor here, and question about marketing going forward relating to insurance and insurance coverage. Are you, even though some of these guys don't have the crop in the ground, are you still marketing that grain, or are you a little bit leery and holding off that we could see higher prices?
Well, I like your question because last year in Iowa, it was the same question. Should we move ahead? You know, we certainly had higher prices, and I don't know who's getting more water, but it was a similar situation last year. We stuck to our plan. We're comfortable selling up to our insurance increment, although most producers we work with don't do that. We're comfortable wherever they are, be that a third or 50% of what they're planning to get, and we haven't held back to this point. We think between the insurance, making the sales, and risk management, be that options or futures, 100% of the crop is covered. So I would encourage your listeners to stick to their plan because things certainly worked out well in Iowa, and I'm sure they're going to work out better than we expect right now in Illinois.
Sam, Ed Dunn from Champaign. Hey, you look at forward marketing, you essentially could nail it down to three options. You can sell cash, you can sell a futures only or a hedge to arrive contract, or you can buy a put option. I know you could sell futures too, but there's guys that are kind of shying away from that from a margin risk perspective. Okay, you sell cash and you got basis really wide right now for fall. You put a hedge to arrive on. The elevator wants 12 or 15 cents because of the beating you took last year on interest on margin calls. And put options are really expensive right now for your typical producer. What do you guys use, a combination, or what's your best strategy?
We absolutely use a combination because we believe in getting the best average. We sell on market peaks. John labels them as roach egg sell signals. We're in the third of four we projected. The average, again, you know, certainly beans have been improving dramatically. Corn's been pretty much flat lining, as earlier was pointed out. We did get a breakout to 450. We're probably bumping into a lot of selling there, and so we can't break out of here. We'd like to do that. I would think you would go ahead and make the sales. I'm more comfortable making a sale I don't like at these prices than making a forced sale in the fall where the potential for being lower than where we are now is probably 85%.
Now, did I understand you that you're approximately 75% on this year's production that we're starting to plant this year?
Yes, of what a producer wants to get going. Again, very few producers we work with sell up to their insurance increment. Most sell around a third or a half. So if their yield's 180, they may sell 90 bushels. That's their comfort level. 75% is what we have gone of your comfort level of those 90 bushels. So we have ammunition if the market decides to run up. We have puts in place for the unpriced, and we average those in as well. Again, this is the third of four peaks, and we've been buying December puts for the same premium price and improving our strike price as time is moving on. We expect to wind up with the best average we can. And, again, your listeners are having difficulties right now, very similar to Iowa last year. We went ahead sometimes reluctantly with our plan, but we stuck to it. I think they'll certainly get enough to satisfy the sales they made. The insurance is in place for additional bushels. The puts fill the gap in between what they're comfortable selling and what they potentially can produce.
Now, how are you going to handle the situation? Let's say this market, corn market goes up $2 between now and mid-July. Soybean market goes up $4 to $5 between now and mid-July. Farmers only maybe in some areas have 65% of a crop, and then by the time October, November comes around, we've rationed the market, the demand's weak, and corn prices are down around 3.25, and he's only got about 75% of his crop.
If I understood the first part of the question, is if the market is higher, what are we going to do? Is that correct?
No, how are you going to handle that to a farmer when you, if prices do go sharply higher here into July, by telling him he's got his bushels insured, and he loses those opportunities to sell at the higher price levels, and by the time you average out on your insurance, the prices are back down at the lower level, and he still only maybe has 65% of the crop.
Well, if he is fortunate enough to have those higher prices later on, and he's only so, you know, up to the level he's comfortable at, he'll have bushels to reward that dramatic price increase. If he sold all the way up to his insurance bushels and doesn't have what he needs to satisfy it, that situation can be a problem for that producer. But again, most producers don't sell up to their insurance level. If they're selling 80 bushels to the acre and their APH, what they expect to get is normally 180, and they wind up with a lot less, they still, what usually happens so far is that they have bushels left. They're not short bushels for the sales. If the market is up at that point, they should be rewarded from their insurance coverage, depending upon what they have. And they certainly, if the market is down, as it is 85% of the time in the fall, then I would suspect their puts would add value to their sales.
And Sam, this is Graham from AgriVisor, and if I'm hearing you correct, though, you're protecting downside risk, right? And
yes.
And not necessarily locking in, you know, locking in a price at these levels, but you got your downside risk protected. If that market does go higher, your producers are able to sell in the cash market at a higher price, but yet still protected at these levels on the downside.
Yes, that's it exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And now, are you capping out the positions at all with short calls, or are you just concerned with the downside protection?
We're just concerned with the downside protection. Our number one priority, from a consulting point of view, when I write marketing plans, I encourage the sales. I think that's the best for every producer's operation. Again, there's reluctance to sell up to the insurance increment, even for the producers I sell crop insurance to. So wherever they're comfortable, our plans are in place to get them there. Our motivation is to be on the phone with them during these tough times and remind them what their plan is to move ahead. And I think that if they buy the our hedge is to buy the options outright. We like to put 30 cents or less in the option premium. We average them in on the market peaks. And that strategy has worked well for John for close to 35 years now. We're probably more conservative than most groups, but it's really worked well, and it kind of kept all our stress at a lower level, if you will.
Sam, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks for the opportunity, and I'll speak to you again. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you much. Bye-bye. Sam Lerner is with Roach Ag Marketing in Boca Raton, Florida. A final word from our guest in studio, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
Just one comment. I think the 800-pound gorilla in the room in commodity complexes is the political risk now. I think the market is worried about that, and that has a strong tendency to maybe keep prices not necessarily reflected current supply-demand prices.
Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing.
I agree. Don't get caught up in the fundamental concerns of weather here. The big gorilla of the economy and politics is still there. But at current price levels and the situation, our stance is go ahead and get some forward sales on beans. Be patient on corn.
Graham Utter of AgriVisor.
Hardest part right now for a producer is going out there and locking in price and getting some of the grain protected for the crop that may not be in the ground yet, but it's something that needs to get started, and the sooner the better.
That is this edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great week.